It's good to be in the Lord's house. If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn with us once again this morning. The Old Testament, Psalm number 119. We've come to the Hebrew letter of Resh. Resh, beginning in the 153rd verse of the 119th Psalm in the Old Testament. This wonderful, wonderful letter that gives us strength to live. And I hope and pray that you have found your strength to live in the Lord Jesus. If you've never trusted in Him, may today be your day in which you call upon Him. And so let's all stand this morning in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm number 119, verse 153. And I want to give you what the Lord's kind of just gave me in my study. I think that'll work best, won't it? If I just give you what the Lord's gave me. I want to preach you this morning on this thought, survival essentials. Survival essentials. The Bible says there, Psalm 119, verse 153, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." And you may be seated. Survival essentials. I believe that we find here in this stanza, getting close to the end of this psalm, in which this author wrote, I believe, as a picture of his life. I believe he spoke from genuine experience. I believe that we find within this stanza some essential truths for survival. Now, I believe it's important that God's people survive. I believe it's important that we have some things underneath us. I believe we have some things lodged in our mind and our memory that'll help us as we live our daily lives. I believe God wants His people to survive. I don't believe He wants us to be victims of circumstance. I don't believe He wants us to be people that are not true warriors in the kingdom of God, but He wants us to have strength for the journey. And I believe that we can find some truths here. I was reminded, you watch TV, and there's a show on a couple of years ago called Survivor, and it was about who the last one to be standing. That's the one that would survive. We find, watched here the last few weeks, a show called Top Shot, and the best marksman, the last one standing, was the one that would survive. I like to watch old Bear on Man vs. Wild every now and again, and he has some essential things that he uses to help him adapt to whatever might be going on around him, wherever he might be, that'll help him to survive. We look at our nation's military, them Army Rangers, those Navy SEALs. They go through extensive training and go through a lot of grueling things to help them to know what they might need to know and do in a time in which they need to survive. I believe that the church is in a day and time right now in the year 2010 that we need some truths lodged within us as the body of Christ that will help the church to survive. I believe that we need to allow God to be honored in our life. And I believe that's what the desire of the psalmist was here in this stanza. Now we find here that there's some truths that we need to cling to, and I'm just going to give you about four or five here this morning. First one being the reality of representation. The reality of representation. I want you to leave here this morning, if you don't hear nothing else, I want you to leave here this morning knowing that you don't have to walk along in the course of this world. Amen? I'm glad that we don't have to, that we ain't out here on a soul journey. I'm thankful that we have somebody that's along the journey with us, that being the Lord Jesus. Look what the psalmist said in verse 153. He said, "Consider mine affliction. Now, I don't believe he's just talking to himself. Amen. I don't believe he's just talking to those that were around him, although there's a lot of times we like to grumble, we like to moan, we like to complain, we like to tell everybody about what our problems are, like to tell everybody about what's going on in the circumstances of our life, and how that everybody ought to feel pity upon us, and how that everybody ought to feel remorse for what that we're going through. I'm here to tell you what, it's sometimes good to vent, and it's good to have somebody you can confide in and that you can share the circumstances of life with, but I'll tell you what, there's none other than the Lord Jesus that's truly going to be able to help you. There's none other than the Lord Jesus that's truly going to be able to meet that need that's in the depths of your soul. I believe the psalmist there, as he's crying, he's praying, he's pleading, he's calling out, and he's begging upon God. And he's saying, consider mine affliction. Now, that affliction speaks of a time of poverty. And I'll tell you what, we live in a day and time in which economical woes have struck our country. The Dow fell once again this week below 10,000. Those that are on the economic horizon watch list, they say that, you know, there might be some more desperate times coming unto our country. I believe that maybe we might not have seen the worst of this economical down slump, this time of recession. I'll tell you what, only God knows. But my friend, even in your time of poverty, financially, economically, physically, God knows your affliction. I'm here to tell you what, even further than that, there's somebody here today that might not be necessarily poor, and might not be necessarily in dire straits physically and economically and financially, but on the depths of your soul and on the inside of your heart, you're desolate. Hey, there ain't no ray of hope. You feel like you can't get no lower than where you are. I want to let you know today that there's somebody that cares. There's somebody that is concerned. What you need to do is call upon God and say, God, consider mine affliction. That word consider speaks of observing. Hey God, look down upon me. Look at me. That word consider gives meaning also to the thought of, God, I want you to give attention unto me. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's some people can't get enough attention. There's some girls can't get enough attention. Some young men can't get enough attention. I'm here to tell you what, God desires to give you His utmost attention if you'll humble yourself and call upon His precious name. God's desire is to help you, but my friend, you've got to come to the reality that there's somebody that can help you, to be a representative for you, to come before the God Father Himself, and that's the Lord Jesus. He says, consider mine affliction. He says, for I do not forget thy law. My friend, we need not be people that are short-minded when it comes to the Word of God. We need to take God at His Word. Need to look upon His Word. That word forget means to cease to care. And my friend, I believe that whenever a church ceases to care about the precedence of the Word of God, when a church ceases to care about the Word in which God spoke upon men of old, underneath the anointing of the Holy Ghost, as it was pinned down, as it's been preserved from year upon year, from decade and decade and generation to generation, as God has allowed this Word to be the truth for you and for me, and God's desire is that we not cease to care about the Word of God. Hey, when a church ceases to care about the Word of God and they put precedence upon singing, they put precedence upon portrayal and drama, whenever they begin to forget about the teaching and the preaching and the proclamation of the Word of God, you're going to find a church that's going to falter and a church that's going to fail. But my friend, it goes beyond the church and it goes into our homes as well. Amen? We need not forget the Word of God. Need not forget to care about the Word of God. Hey, I believe God's desire is to minister unto your affliction. That word affliction also means misery. Hey, there might be somebody here this morning that feels miserable. Hey, I want to tell you, call upon God. Hey, the reality is that He wants to be your representative. Look what it says in verse 154. He says, plead my cause. He's crying out unto God and he's saying, God, I want you to plead my cause. That cause speaks of a controversy or a dispute. Now we find a lot of times, Brother Curtis deals with it, Misty deals with it, they see a lot of dispute. They see a lot of controversy. They see somebody that has aught against the law of the land. They see somebody that has aught or strife against some other individual, a citizen. And they, therefore they sue them and they take them unto court. Well, whenever they arrive in court there, if they ain't too smart, they'll try to represent themselves. But my friend, if they have some some intelligence about them and they have some integrity about them, they'll get somebody to stand there and to plead their cause before that one that's going to cast the judgment. My friend, we need to be reminded this morning that we need not to stand before a holy God and plead our cause by ourselves if we know the Lord Jesus, because the Bible tells us over there in the New Testament, in the book of 1 John chapter 2, He said, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." The Bible tells us over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Boy, I'm glad I've got a defender, amen. I'm glad I've got a mediator. I'm glad I've got an advocate in the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's waiting to go to bat for you. He's waiting to stand before God Almighty and plead your case and plead your cause and to help you settle your dispute and to help you overcome that strife that's taking place in your life. Hey, the reality is that you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and His name is Jesus. Do you know Him this morning? Have you called upon Him lately? Have you asked Him to help you to plead your cause? He says there in verse 154, He says, "Quicken me according to Thy Word." Hey, there's somebody here today that needs a quickening. There's somebody here today that needs to grow. There's somebody here today that needs to enjoy life, that needs to live life. Hey, I'll tell you what, sometimes life can overwhelm us. Amen? Now, I'm preaching myself right now, Brother Andy. Life can overwhelm us. I don't know about you, but several of you wear several different hats. I have to ask myself, what hat am I wearing at the moment? Because I go from being a daddy to being a husband, to being an employer, to being a preacher, to being a pastor. I go to being a son and a grandson. And then I have to switch gears again and go at it in a different manner, in a different way, to be a husband. I'm here to tell you what, we need to realize that sometimes life gets overwhelming. Sometimes we can't understand. Sometimes we need to be reminded of why we're living and what we're living for and who is the giver of life. And sometimes we just need a refresh. Sometimes we just need a touch of God to come upon us. Sometimes we just need to be revived. And that's what the psalmist says. He's saying, "God, quicken me, help me, strengthen me, cause me to grow according to Thy Word." Hey, I'll tell you what, the Word of God tells us that He is faithful. Amen? And if we'll just believe in Him and trust in Him, hey, He'll be faithful unto you and I in the Word of God. And so we find here that I believe some survival essentials, some truths that are essential for us to survive, is that we need to come to the reality of representation. God wants to help you. God wants to help me. God wants to be there to be our defender and our advocate and the one that can help us to seek His direction for life. But my friend, there's also the resource of redemption. Hey, God, the Father is working through God the Son. He not only wants to be your advocate and your mediator and your representative, but my friend, before He can truly be that, He has to be your Redeemer. Look what the Bible says in verse 153. He says, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me." My friend, we need to be rescued. Amen? Hey, we need to be set free from the bonds of chains of sin. We need to be set free from the feeling that we've got to be such and such to our society. And we've got to fit in with this peer group. And we need to overcome this peer pressure. Hey, let me tell you what. If you get saved and get born again, birthed from above, Jesus Christ can set you free. That's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, "Deliver me, O God." And then he says in verse 154, he says, "Plead my cause and deliver me." That word "deliver" that we find in verse 154 literally means to redeem by payment. My friend, Jesus Christ, His desire is to be your Redeemer today. You say, "What type of payment do I have, preacher?" Hey, I'll tell you what, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And my friend, I will tell you that death is an eternal separation from a holy God. And my friend, unless the wages of sin have been paid for you, unless that you've been set free from underneath that bondage, set free from underneath that ridicule, set free from underneath underneath that chain in which the Satan has upon you through the wickedness of your heart. My friend, unless you've been saved and redeemed, there's no hope for you. But I want to tell you what, that Jesus Christ came to be our Redeemer. Just as you read in the book of Ruth, where that Boaz became Ruth's kinsman Redeemer, that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you and for I. He was born of a virgin, allowed Himself to be incarnated just as a man as you and I, and He became our kinsman at the time in which He was conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. And He came forth and was born, and He lived that spotless, sinless life, and He died there upon Calvary to pay the sin debt of your sin and of my sin. Hey, He was gloriously raised again on that third day after that He died there. And my friend, it's through His life that we have life. It's through His victory over death that we have victory. It's through His resurrection that we receive the payment that we might be set free and delivered. My friend, we need to realize that there is the resource of redemption for those. Hey, if you're going to survive in this world, you need to have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus. I don't see how the atheists make it. Do you? I don't see how the agnostics make it. I don't see how those followers of Buddha make it. I don't see how those that worship the Quran and Muhammad make it. Because none of that gives hope. None of that gives life. None of that gives joy. But the Lord Jesus can bring joy. Hey, He can deliver. Hey, the Bible says there in verse 155, He says, salvation is far from the wicked. Salvation, that deliverance, that prosperity, that victory that God wants to give you, is far away from those that are wicked, those that are vile, those that are guilty of sin, those that are hostile toward God because they're a sinner. Let me tell you what, salvation is far from the wicked. But my friend, it draws near to those that will humble themselves and lower themselves at the feet of Jesus and say, yes, God, I'm a sinner. Yes, God, I'm not worthy of nothing but devil's hell. And God, I'm pleading unto You. I'm saying, God, deliver me. God, set me free. God, rescue me. God, help me to obtain this salvation that can bring joy. Hey, there's the resource of redemption there. He says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not Thy statutes. Hey, I'll tell you what, the statutes of God are those things that have been prescribed unto you and to I as to how that we first of all can come to know God. It's only through Jesus, by faith, accepting God's grace. That's the only way you can come to know the Lord Jesus. And my friend, that's the only way you can have a relationship with God. But the Bible says, they seek not Thy statutes. They don't long for the Word of God. They're not looking for the Word of God. Therefore, salvation cannot be brought unto them. But I'll tell you what, there is a resource, and His name is Jesus, if you'll call upon Him. Hey, the Bible says there, He says in verse 156, He says, great are Thy tender mercies, O Lord. I'll tell you what, God wants to bring mercy unto you. He wants to bring mercy unto me. He wants to help us during this time of affliction. Those tender mercies speak about the womb. It speaks about that womb of compassion. My friend, God wants to suffer with you. God wants to meet with you. God wants to minister unto you and I. But we have to allow Him to do that. My friend, Moses allowed Him to do that. Moses had a desire to be with God. Moses had a longing to see God. Moses wanted to meet with God face to face. And of course, we know that God's so holy and God's so pure. And just the sight of His glory would singe a man. It would not allow him to live. But He said, Moses, I'll let you see My hinder parts. And the Bible tells us over there in the book of Exodus, chapter number 34. And it says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And verse 6 says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. He says, merciful and gracious. Ain't He merciful? Ain't He gracious? God don't give us what we deserve, but He gives us what we don't deserve. Hey, I don't deserve to be saved. Don't deserve to be set free. Don't deserve to have the family I have. Don't deserve to have the church that I have. But by God's grace and by God's mercy, we're here this morning, seated amongst those heavenly. I'm thankful for what He's done. He says there, I'll get it, brother. I wasn't worried about it. Wasn't worried about it. Bible says right there in verse number 6, it says, the Lord God merciful and gracious. He says, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. Amen. I'll tell you what, God is able to help anybody and everybody that'll call upon Him, that'll humble themselves before Him. Hey, He's the resource for our redemption this morning. He says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Hey, there's no sin too big for God not to forgive. There's no sin too small that God can't minister unto. Hey, there's no iniquity, there's no transgression that's ever taken place in your heart that God does not have the cure for through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says there, and that by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and unto the third and fourth generation. Hey, God's mercy extends to all if you're willing to accept it. He says there in verse 156, He says, great are Thy tender mercies. Now, that word great not only means in magnitude, but it means in number. Amen. Hey, great. Many are the tender mercies of our Lord. How many times can you count upon your hand that God's ministered unto you? And I'll tell you what, I ain't got enough hands, I ain't got enough fingers, I ain't got enough hairs on my head to count how many times that God has been merciful unto me, how He showed compassion unto me, how He's ministered unto me. And my friend, if God did it once, He can do it again. And God's desire is for His people to realize, hey, the only way I'm going to survive in this life is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be my Redeemer, my kinsman Redeemer. He says there in verse 156, once again he cries unto God and he says, O Lord, quicken me according to Thy judgments. Quicken me, refresh me, revive me, restore me, cause me to grow according to Thy judgments. My friend, God ultimately is the judge. And God ultimately makes the decision. God casts the sentence and He brings forth the condemnation. But my friend, I'm glad there is therefore now no condemnation to those whom are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And my friend, God's already cast judgment upon Jesus at Calvary for those that trust in Him by faith, believing that God's able. My friend, let me beg unto you once again this morning, the only way you're going to survive is to call upon Jesus, is to allow Him to restore you and refresh you. Hey, the Bible tells us here not only, I believe, some survival essentials, not only the reality of representation, the resource of redemption, but I believe something that's going to help the church is that there needs to be the remorse of rejection. The remorse of rejection. Hey, we live in a world that ridicules the name of Jesus. We live in a world that turns their nose up at the grace of God. We live in a world that does not want to have anything to do with the holiness and the purity and the desire to be what God wants us to be. My friend, I'm here to tell you what, we need to have a broken heart. That's what the psalmist had. It says there in verse 158, he says, and was grieved. He beheld the transgressors and was grieved. He says there in verse 157, he says, many are my persecutors and mine enemies. My friend, we've got people that desire to persecute us and pursue us and to get us to flee everywhere we go. We got people that want to banish the name of Jesus. Got people that don't even want to stand up for the truths that we have found in the documents of our forefathers of this great nation. Saw this morning some homeowner association out in Florida said somebody can't put God Bless America upon their garage door. Now, ain't that a shame? That we can't stand up and say, God bless this great country in which men have fought for and men and women have died for and they gave the ultimate sacrifice that we might be able to live free today. How? God, help us! My friend, there needs to be remorse over the rejection of a nation for God. He says, many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from Thy testimonies. My friend, we need to stick to our guns. We need to trust upon the Word of God. Need to cling unto the book. Allow the book to grasp our heart and to grip our soul that we might serve Him with fervency and with zeal. The Bible says there, He says, yet do I not decline from Thy testimonies. To decline means to turn aside or to bend. No matter who harasses us, no matter who runs after us, no matter who pursues us, no matter who might be our adversary or our oppressor or our foe, my friend, we need to realize that we've got one that's greater than them, and His name is Jesus, and He's on our side. But my friend, yet we ought to have remorse for them. The Bible tells us as Jesus stood up yonder and overlooked Jerusalem, He wept. He wept over that lost city. He wept over those that rejected the plan of salvation. He wept over those that did not believe in the true Paschal Lamb. He wept over those that did not know Christ and did not believe in Him. Talked to a man the other day and was talking about a mutual individual that we knew. He says, you know, I don't put him down. I don't really condemn him for what he does because he's just doing what comes natural unto him. What I need to do is I need to show him the love of God. And I need to live the love of God in front of him and encourage him to trust in Jesus. Not saying it's all right to sin. Not saying that we believe what he's doing is all right. But just saying, you know, hey, we need to have more of a broken heart for a lost and dying world than we need to be putting them down because they're just doing what comes natural. And we go in the jail there on Tuesday night and all them fellows, well, why are they there? They're just doing what comes natural unto them. They might not have had nobody teach them the right way. Might not have had nobody to give them the right direction. Now, I'm not saying that I'm for what they did. I'm here to tell you what, we need to have a burdened soul for lost individuals. Hey, the psalmist says there, he had remorse. He says, I beheld the transgressors. I looked at those that act or dealt treacherously, faithlessly, deceitfully. Those who were offensive unto a holy God. And he says, I was grieved, I loathed within myself and had a heavy heart and a heavy burden for them. My friend, we don't need to say it's all right to see them. We need to tell them the truth. We need to be firm upon the Word of God. I don't want to contradict myself this morning, but we still need to have a broken heart for those that don't know Jesus. Sharing with them and telling them, hey, there should be remorse for those that are the rejecter. He says there, and was grieved because they kept not thy word. There's a lot of people that don't desire to preserve this book. And I'm not talking just about those that are on the outsides of the church wall. Amen? There's a lot of transgressors that sit on pews Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. They're transgressors toward a holy God. You say, well, hey, you know that, preacher. Well, the Bible tells us over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 29 and about number verse 15, 13, it says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Hey, we can show up in person. We can sing the song. We can preach the message. We can teach the Sunday school class. But is our heart near God? My friend, we need to have remorse for those that have rejected Him. We need to have remorse for those that are far from Him. He says, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Now, if we need to fear God, need to love Him, call upon Him. Book of Exodus, chapter number 33, and verse number 30 says, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Amen. James said, be not hearers only, but doers of the word of God. There was a hardship amongst the people of God there that Ezekiel spoke to. He says, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. But he says, for they hear thy words, but they do not do them. My friend, I'm here to tell you what, we can sing the songs, we can play the instruments, we can preach the messages, but my friend, where's our heart for God? Where's your heart for God? My friend, if we're going to survive, we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we need to have remorse for those that are rejecting God's Word. Jesus said over in the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 46, He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? My friend, God's grieved, I believe, this morning over His church. My friend, there needs to be some survival essentials. So I was thinking about that, and I was thinking also about the reward of repentance. Look what it says there in verse 159. He says, consider how I love thy precepts. Now, God, I know there's transgressors. I know that there are those that are persecuting and harassing. But God, I want you to consider me once again. Look upon me. Listen unto me. Give attention unto me. And He says, consider how I love thy precepts. My friend, somebody that truly loves the Word of God has a heart that's right, has a heart that desires to be true. Let me ask you, where's your heart fashioned toward this morning? What are you longing after this morning? What are you coveting today? Is it God's will for your life? Or is it some job? Is it the Lord's will for your family? Or is it some physical, material thing that's going to rust and decay? My friend, we need to ask ourselves, where is our heart at? Psalmist says, consider how I love thy precepts. And then he says, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. That loving kindness that God has for you and I speaks of His goodness and His faithfulness. God will be faithful to minister unto you if you'll be faithful to repent before Him and say, God, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Hey, repentance ain't just for that one that's lost for a first time of spiritual salvation, to be generated and to be justified before God. But it also is a proper thing that needs to take place in the life of the believer that they might become sanctified before God, might be presented holy before God, and might be able to be a vessel that can be used in our family and in our home and in our church, in our workplace. So we see here some of these survival essentials. Last but not least, there's the resistance of righteousness. And you say, preacher, what do you mean by that? I'll tell you what, God's righteousness, no matter what is thrown at it, no matter what tries to bend it or break it, the righteousness of God is resistant to everything. I started to use the word resilience. But resilience speaks of something that can be bended and moved and fashioned and formed, but it always goes back to its original shape. There's a lot of people that try to bend the righteousness of God, but I begin to think about that, and God began to minister in my heart, hey, His righteousness is never changing, amen. His righteousness is always right. His righteousness is always pure. It's always holy. It's always just. It's always true. God's righteousness will never be affected by sin or by Satan or by sinners. My friend, God's righteousness is always perfect. And He says there, Thy Word is true from the beginning. This book in which we hold in our hand, the guideline book, the instruction book, the directions for our life, it's true from the beginning. From before the foundation of the world, God knew that this book would come to exist and that it would come to pass and that it would always be right. It would never lead nobody astray. And He says, Thy Word is true from the beginning. It's faithful. And He says there, in every one of Thy righteous judgments, endureth forever. My friend, it's perpetual from beginning, from the very head of things, from the front of things, all the way to the end of this world. But my friend, we know this old earth right here in which we're standing here is going to one day burn with fervent heat and it's not going to exist no more after God gets done judging the wickedness and the vileness of sin upon this earth. But there's going to come a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to reign forever and forever and forever. And God's people will be in that celestial city and will be able to worship His righteousness perpetually without end forevermore. My friend, He is true. He is faithful. Have you trusted in Him today? My friend, the only way you're going to survive on this side of eternity is to be trusting in Him. The only way you'll survive throughout eternity is to be trusting in Him. God's always right. He's always right. He's always right. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.